be in your house and be able to sing that great hymn and lift our voices in praise to you. And what a glorious, glorious day it is. Bless this time now together in the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. It doesn't get much better than that, folks. We're right on schedule, so believe it or not. I want to give you some introduction. In a few minutes, I'm going to share some things personal, if you'll allow me to, before I get to the message, and I will be there in a little while. I'm going to be in Acts 11, if you want to open up your Bible and have it there. It'll be a little while before I get there, but bear with me, please, because this is a wonderful, wonderful day for your pastor. I don't know why God has blessed me so richly, but He has. I don't know why He's allowed me to be here for 52 years, but He has. And I praise Him for that. But my friends, much has been written and said concerning the need for the Lord's New Testament churches in this old fragmented and fearful society that we live in to preach and to share the powerful, life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My prayer concerning the message this morning on our 52nd anniversary is that it will help each of us to understand and to anchor our lives in the truth and the power of the gospel. One writer said of a church in Antioch, and that's where our theme will be shortly, the writer said of that church, Antioch was built not on a social agenda, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that Marsh Road Baptist Church was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, we can and often should measure the health of Marsh Road Baptist Church, the spiritual health of Marsh Road Baptist Church. And God has graciously, through His Word, given insight into becoming being a healthy church. And Antioch will help us with a few thoughts in a few moments about that. Here are a couple of reasons that we can use this church as a good measure of church health. The first one is this. It was one of the few churches that did not have major theological or moral issues, unlike Corinth and Rome and Ephesus and others. I am thankful that we do not have those problems. Second, the Antioch Church is a model applicable to our day because of similarity between first century culture and our culture of our day. We have a growing urban context, multicultural in our world. We have religious plurality as they did. There is a gap between rich and poor. There is economic opportunity. There is immorality loaded. There is unethical behavior, and on we could go. That society and our present society in the world. But note this, the Antioch church thrived in their diverse setting and saw people, communities, and the entire landscape of its city transformed by the gospel. I'm thankful for Paul's writing. And I was reminded as I studied this of that little verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, in which the Apostle Paul declared, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then he told us why he was not ashamed. He said, "For it," that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." I am thankful that it is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not the power of Pastor Shepherd. It is not the power of Vernon Santmeyer, nor any of the rest of you. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we ever forget that, we are in serious, serious trouble. Here are three simple principles I relate to the Antioch Church, applicable to healthy churches of our day. Number one, the Antioch Church was a Holy Spirit-dependent community. There is so much difference in the world today. There are far too many churches that are relying on various gimmicks or programs or strategies. If we do this, we'll reach people. If we do that, we'll reach people. Understand today that we reach people through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number two, the Antioch Church was a disciple-making community of believers. Miss Jean and I spent some time this past week. And I took all of the church records, which I'm sad to say are kind of a mess. And we started counting the baptisms. You know that Pastor Shepherd is a record-keeping person. All of you know that, okay? I can tell you the average Sunday school attendance starting in 1973, every month. I can tell you the electric bills and the gas bills throughout all these years. I have them in my office. I still keep them. But I never kept track of the baptisms. So we started going through it, and it's very difficult. I don't know how many I baptized, but we came up with some nearly 600 people that I had baptized over the years. That's not counting the people that joined by statement or by transfer letter or coming back. There are pages and pages and pages of people. And as I looked through it, some of them I didn't even remember who they were. But Marsh Road Baptist Church, as any New Testament church, must be a disciple-making body. Jesus instructed us to go, basically, as we go. Make disciples of all people. Thirdly, the Antioch Church had a core doctrinal convictions. Folks, Marsh Road Baptist Church stands on its doctrine. Don't get afraid of doctrine. The Bible talks about doctrine all the time. In fact, there is nothing but doctrine in the Word of God. Some people say, "That scares me, doctrine." Why? That's what the Bible is made up in there. So the Antioch Church was not loose in their theology. It stood and was grounded and rested on the Word of God. Now, let's think about it. Acts 11, if you got your Bible open, you can look at it with me. Verses 19 through verse 26. And if I mispronounce these words, my wife will inform me when I get home. Okay? And that's all right. Don't you do it. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch." Now listen. "Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with him, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. 52 years ago, November 5, 1967, Marsh Road Baptist Church was founded. We met our first service on that particular date in the Boys Club underneath 711 Featherstone and Route 1. That's where we met. We just set aside the pool tables and the jukeboxes and set up chairs. And we had a glorious, glorious time. But as I was preparing for this message today, I asked myself a very important question. Have I, Pastor Shepherd, arrived at a time in my life that I am content with where I am spiritually and relating to Marsh Road Baptist Church? Am I content with where we are, what we have, and what we are doing? My answer then and my answer this morning is absolutely no. I am not content where I am spiritually. I've got growing to do. I am not content with what we have and where we are at Marsh Road Baptist Church. I will not be content until God takes me out of this world. And I hope that's your answer. So what do I do? And what can I do? Now I fully realize many of us cannot do the things we have done in the past. So I'm not telling you to get up and do everything that you've done in the past, because some of you can't. But we need to understand that there are many avenues you and I take in reaching others for Christ, and in strengthening the redeemed, and building and growing a wonderful, marvelous church setting atop this little hill. Many often fear sharing their thoughts, and I understand this. But I want you, all of you, to know this. Your pastor will always listen. I am open to ideas. Now that doesn't always mean I will adopt your ideal, but I am open. I will listen. And I will take that which I believe would advance the cause of Christ and implement it. So I want you to take 1 minute and I want you to look around. You can look to your left, you can look to your right, and those in back can look forward, and you can turn around and look back if you want to. But I want to tell you this. Marsh Road Baptist Church is filled with men and women with great minds. I believe there are multiplied great minds sitting in this auditorium this morning, capable of multiplied ideas. Our society has produced many and various avenues you and I use every day sharing with others. I know and you know we converse with a friend easily, don't we? Yeah, we talk about the weather in preparation of wintertime. We talk about the politics of our world, the latest disaster by our favorite sport team. And some of you don't like them. Joys over a brand new job. Or think about this, a marriage, birth of a child, and oh boy, a birth of a grandchild. Our blessed health, and on we could go with the blessings of our life. But the question is, why? Is it so easy to share those things but find it difficult to share Jesus? You ever think about it? We could talk all day about the weather, about the Redskins, about the Washington, whatever they're called. Can't we? Then why is it difficult that we cannot share the gospel with those we come in contact with if God opens the door for us? Now, allow me to be personal just a moment. I have been blessed beyond measure, used by God over these past 52 years. You'll never understand the joy of my heart to just be able to stand in this pulpit today. At age 85, my father went home to be with the Lord. He had served the Lord abundantly well. And so Pastor Shepherd had figured about the time I get to be 80 and lived out the span of seventy years, I'd go home to be with the Lord. But not so. But I also want you to know this, that Pastor Shepherd made blunders and failed on many occasions in these 52 years. I readily admit that. But yet, God has always overruled the blunders and the failures and has ultimately brought us where we are today. God has kept this church grounded in His Word and has given us souls for our labor. And I personally this morning believe He has not finished with Marsh Road Baptist Church yet. There are souls to be won and many who need to be strengthened and encouraged. One of the easiest things in life for us to do is to encourage other saints of God. It is a simple task. There is certainly a need for every one of us present today for a deeper commitment to the Lord and His work, along with a deeper commitment to sharing Jesus Christ. We do that as we go about our community, and we do that around the world. And let me share something for you. Marsh Road Baptist Church is having the greatest year in mission giving that we have ever had in the history of this church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're going to exceed 20% of our income giving to missions. And if God will allow me to live another year, I want us to give 25%. And if He'll allow me to live 50 more years, let's do 75%. The most dangerous thing for a church is to build a great big account with lots of money. Because if you got money, your faith will decrease. So we're going to burn a lot of money up, folks. We are. We got missionaries that need us and missionaries that need others. I am so thankful for you and your faithfulness. Before I get to the message, I'm going to get there in just a minute. And it will not be long. But I want to say, first of all, how very much I am thankful that God brought this beautiful lady right here facing me into my life. Your pastor does not know where he would have been today if she had not came on the scene. Living alone is not good. And is truly not good for a pastor. It is dangerous. And I'm thankful that God spared me from some things in my life. But I rejoice that she has come into my life. She is my stable rock. She loves me. She's there for me. She helps to direct my path as best she can. And I am a shepherd. And so sometimes it gets tough for her. But I am so thankful that she is a part of my life and a part of your life today. For some of you who have been here a long time, you knew our preceding pastor's wife, Miss Jo. And what a beautiful, great lady she was. And I'm thankful that God gave me somebody just as strong and just as powerful and just as loving as she was. I'm also thankful for those who labor in this church. Let me say that I am especially thankful for the two men who stand by me, Moses had Aaron and her. Pastor Shepherd has Aaron and her. Has Billy and Robert. Now I give them a little bit of time in the pulpit. But folks, the day is coming when they will have to do more. But they lighten my load. I am thankful for my leadership team. I am thankful for every teacher in this church, and some of you have taught many, many years. Some of you have spent hours in Vacation Bible School when you were absolutely already worn out, but yet you came, and yet you were there. Many of you came to kids' days that we had and were out in the sun all day long and back in church on Sunday. Time nor words hinders me from all of the blessings that are mine. I'm thankful for every one of you who faithfully come to church, who lift your voices in praise. And oh, by the way, that song today was tremendous. Okay? Because you make life great for your pastor. So thank you. I don't really know any other way to express it except to say thank you for all you have been for me and to me in this journey that I have been on. For many of you stood with me for 6 years when I was by myself, battling any and all things that came into my life. And you have helped me through periods of my discouragement or downheartedness. And yes, I did try to leave Marsh Road once, and God wouldn't permit it. I don't know what the future holds, either for me or for Marsh Road, but I do know this, that as long as we will stay faithful, as long as we will just get up and do what God wants us to do, He will continue to sustain and to build Marsh Road Baptist Church. There are three simple points about the Antioch Church that I want to give you this morning, and I will get you out of here very shortly. First of all, This is where I gathered my thoughts. Now, somebody else may disagree. You know, us preachers have different ideas. And so Billy may disagree, and Robert, if he were here, might disagree. They don't preach like I preach. I don't preach like they preach. If you pay any attention to Billy, he has three or four or five points, and they're all start with one letter, okay? Pastor doesn't do that. He's not going to do that, okay? I think Brother Robert tried it a time or two. I don't know if he'll be successful or not, but your pastor doesn't do that. That's okay. But here's what's important. Antioch Church, they taught and shared Jesus Christ. I want you to look back at the text, and I want to share a couple of verses with you very quickly. It says in verse 20 that they arrived, some men arrived here at Antioch, and they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not believe that any of us in this assembly this morning are so naive as to believe Jesus is the only subject being taught in churches around the world today. In our day, many spend their time telling heart-stirring stories to build your emotions up, or preaching to itching ears so that no one is offended. I get a lot of reports in the mail. And we are advised by so many so-called great men of God, don't preach against such things as homosexuality or same-sex marriage or the newest thing, transgender lifestyle, whatever that is, and living together out of wedlock or abortion. And on and on we could go. Just don't do it. And there's a reason for it. What they're saying is don't stir the waters because somebody might get unhappy and leave the church and take their money with them. I made a little note. If that happens, and that's where we move, and that's where we get to, we better close the doors and lock it up, folks. Because this church must preach the Word of God. Take note of what happened when Barnabas was sent to Antioch and Jerusalem church. In chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26, we find that he parted. Barnabas left. He came there. He departed, and he went to seek Saul, who is Paul, as we know. And they found him, and he brought him back to Antioch. And they came in, and they assembled themselves with the church. Now listen, and taught much people. Now, what Paul and Barnabas did was gather in the church and they began to teach the Word of God. I don't think Paul spent a great deal of time telling them his journeys he's been on or going to be on in life. He just opened up the Word of God and began to share them the Word of God. In Acts chapter 15, page or two over in your Bible, just a little story. They began to have some struggles in a church. And it says, verse 1, certain men which come down from Judea taught the brethren, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. We don't have that problem today, but we have those who proclaim that you've got to do this and you got to do that and you got to wear a suit and tie and you got to put your hair on the left side, not the right. And on we could go. All the good works of life, or he will not be saved. Same story, just different events of life that is there. But then we find Paul and Barnabas were sent to clarify the teachings of these false teachers. In verse 2, and when they finished, they came in, they began to straighten things out. And when they were finished, note what they did in verse 35. They continued in Antioch. They went back to the Antioch church. Now listen. Teaching and preaching the Word of God. I don't know any other way to say it. But folks, the responsibility of Marsh Road Baptist Church, that is every teacher, every person who stands in this pulpit, every song that we sing, every special that is rendered, needs to be that which honors God and is the Word of God. Period. End. We're not here to tell stories, and they are great, but we're here to help you to grow, to mature. First of all, to be saved. But then we want you to grow and mature and be all that God wants you to be. Because it takes every one of us in this assembly to make this church work. And we need to recognize that in our life. Here's what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. He was talking about people needing to be saved. And he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or without someone telling them? You say, well, I'm not a preacher, Pastor. Yes, you are. You're not a pastor. Let me tell you something, folks. You have a responsibility to share Jesus Christ. Secondly, they studied their Bibles. Chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, now there were in the church which was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. Now, you can read that and read what they did, but basically prophets and teachers teach, don't they? That's what they do. So they taught. They read their Bible. They said, open your Bible. Look at your Bible. Let's deal with the Word of God. That's the only instrument, folks, that people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm thankful, and I praise God that you bring your Bible to church. I'm not going to ask you who's got it here, but, you know, if you don't bring it, pick it up and bring it, okay? And you read the scripture that I am going to share, or Billy's going to share, or Robert's going to share. That's wonderful. But if that's all there is to your Bible in your life, oh boy, you're coming up short. Way short. You must read the Word of God. Scripture says you are to study to show yourself approved unto God. Now we know that we want our children to study Matthew, to study reading, writing, and arithmetic. I don't know if they teach that in school anymore. Shame on them. But be that as it may, that's where it is in our world today. But we've got to teach the Word of God. We've got to study it so that we know, okay, here's where I am. And here's how I know that I am saved. We need to be workmen that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of God. Part of that responsibility is what goes on from this pulpit and what goes on from every class in this building. Chapter 11, 26, we find an interesting thing. If you read the last part of that verse of Scripture, guess what? Paul and Silas spent a year with these people. What happened after a year? Where were they? What was going on in their life? Anybody know? They were first called what? Christians. You know what Christians are? Tell me. Christ-like. Living like Jesus lives. That's what it means. Oh, I'm a Christian, Pastor. But I go honky-talking and I go to ball games and I do this and I do that. And I still pretty good. No. It's Christ-like living. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're doing. You're going to be like Jesus. That's going to mold your life and shape it and make it what it needs to be. Okay? Oh, I'm so thankful for that. They were becoming like Christ. As I pass through my day, and my friends, as you pass through your day, would your behavior and my behavior indicate to those we come in contact with that we are Christians? Would they see that in your life? I mean, out in the world where you are. And it would make it a little bit better. Will they see that in your home? Will they see how you're behaving and what you are doing and all your life? Would they see and say, okay, this person is a child of God, and I know they are a child of God because I see it in their lives. Paul wrote these words, only let your conversation, that is your day-to-day living, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That's the goal. Your day-to-day living like Christ. And then thirdly and lastly, they challenge their personal abilities. I am so thankful that that one chapter does just a little bit more. Look down at verse 27 if you've got your Bible open. Here's what it says. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem and Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great rout throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, now listen, every man according to his ability, or every person according to their ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and then sent it by the elders. They reached way down in their pocketbooks, dug out what they could to do this. Now, you and I don't have a famine in our land today. But my friends, let me tell you something. We have a famine, a scarcity, a shortage of spiritual growth and godly mannerisms in our world today. It is unreal. In my 85 plus years, nearly 86 come the 22nd of this month, I have never seen a world that is so ungodly as our world is. I've never seen politicians so corrupt and vile and ugly as our politicians are today. I will vote Tuesday, but let me tell you something. I will vote very carefully. I will find out who I'm voting for. I've already read up on it. And I will not vote for anybody that holds to abortion. I will not. I don't care what. I will not vote according to some other things in my life. I am sick and tired of the ugliness in our political realm today. We need to wise up. And folks, we need to be cautious when we step into the booth to vote. Do vote. That's your privilege. We need to be sure that we're standing on the pure and unfiltered Word of God, because that's what produces spiritual growth. Now, I'm thankful that we can read good books. I'm just finishing up a great book about the end times written by Dr. David Jeremiah. I'm down to the last chapter. It's been exciting. But folks, it's not the Word of God. It's written by a man. He does a tremendous job. But if that's all I read, I am missing the reality of the Word of God. Now, he does share a lot of scriptures, and that's a blessing. But we have to remember, are you spending time in the Word of God? Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That you may grow thereby. How do we grow babies? How does Anna and Carolyn cause the baby to grow? How does Miss Sarah help her beautiful baby to grow? Feeds them. Feeds them. That's how. They must be fed. They must be milked to begin with. And then finally you move to food. And one of these days they'll chaw down on a steak. Okay. But it takes feeding to do that in life. You can't just say, I hope you grow up and be fine. Okay. Mama's around, but, don't bother me too much, life. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is done by the study, by the application, and by the ingesting of the Word of God. That's what it takes. What we need as we travel the road of life, handling the difficulties and all the things that become a part of our life. And folks, we all have difficulties. And I don't know your difficulties. I don't need to know your difficulties. But I will tell you right up front, they're no different than everybody else's difficulties. To you, they may be major, but there are others who probably are worse off than you are. But listen to me. You can manage to get through the difficulties of life if you have Jesus Christ as the anchor of your life, because He's promised, I will meet your needs. Understand the growth process. You've not only got to study, let me tell you something. Let me be abundantly clear. You need times like this. Now, I think traveling Skyline Drive is great, okay, in the fall. I do. But folks, if you can't do it sometime by Sunday, you ought to forget it, okay? Sunday belongs to God. And you need to get it right, okay? You need to show up here, not on special days like the 52nd anniversary, and I'm thankful you did, but all the time. You need this strength in your life. So show up. Open your Bible and read it, okay? I love what Jesus said to John. You know, John denied the Lord 3 times. And Jesus came back to him and said, John, I want to ask you a question. If we can paraphrase just a little bit. Do you love me? And do you love me more than these? Now, I don't know what these were, but I kind of think they were probably fish, okay? John was a fisherman. Do you love me more than these? Peter said, oh, yes, Lord. You know me. You know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. And he turned around and asked him a second time. He said, John, do you really love me? And oh, boy, John began to boil this a little bit. Said, you know, Lord, I love you. I love you with all my heart. He said, John, feed my sheep. So he came back a third time. Now you can make whatever you want of all of that. But he came back a third time and he said, do you really, really love me, Peter? And he said, yes. And there was one translation says he kind of was aggravated at it. But he said, yes. And so Jesus very quietly said, feed my sheep. You understand what he's doing? He's awakening Peter to the need of his life to deal with sharing Jesus Christ. You feed my sheep. I'll make sure you have fish on your boat. I'll make sure you have food on your table. But share me. Share Jesus. Life. Folks, let me tell you something. You and I are living in a time that if ever there's a need for the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is today. And our responsibility is to live and share Jesus Christ. However you can do that. I think it's great to do it. I think it's wonderful. And I try my best when I go out, Jane and I go out to eat. And we finish, and I get the bill. And I put a nice tip inside a gospel tract. And if I get the opportunity, and it gives itself to me, I will talk to my waiter about Jesus. We did that the other night. I said, I want to know something. I may never see you again. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, oh, I do. I do, and we talked for a little while. But I want to know. I may never see him again. I may never get back to that particular table, that particular waiter. And I handed him a track. I said, come, visit with us, please. He said, I will. I don't know if he will or not. But folks, we've got to have the courage to say, as God opens doors. Now, you can't knock people down on the street and say, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. Just hang on. Although sometimes I'd like to. But God will open a door. Share Jesus. Share Jesus. Folks, our history has been great, but we cannot live in history. We got a future ahead of us. I don't know what's in store for Marsh Road. I think there's some great things in store for us. We have multiplied talent inside this church. We have people that are doing things they've never done before. And I'm thankful for all of that. But you and I must seize every opportunity we can to help others to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow a body of believers in the Lord. So let me ask you a couple of questions as we close. I want to know if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the one thing that's more important than anything else. Do you know in the full assurance of your heart that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you could say yes to that, you're off to a good start. But let me ask you the second question. Are you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we say, yeah, I am mostly. No, there can't be any mostly. Are you surrendered? So when God touches your heart, are you going to respond? Are you going to do what God wants you to do in life? I remember telling, and I've told you this before, but some of you probably don't remember it. I remember my Sunday school teacher when I was very young. I was probably in the vicinity about 10 years old. I was saved when I was 10 and a half. But she said, Billy, I want to know now. I'm a preacher's son. My dad was pastor, Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church. I grew up in a house where both mom and dad loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talked about him all the time. And she said, Billy, I want to know, are you saved? And I looked her straight in the face, and I said, half and half. Can you believe that? She said, Billy, there is no half and half. I didn't want to tell her I was lost. I didn't want to tell her I was saved, so I just said half and half. Well, she corrected all of that, okay? There is no half and half, folks. You're either saved or you're not. You're either surrendered or you're not. So that's where it stands today. So if you're not saved, find your way up here. There'll be somebody up here to help you. If you're not surrendered, get yourself to the altar and make that surrender. If you need to do it publicly, we'll be up here. We will help you to make that decision. But this is your day. I don't know what today, tomorrow will hold for you. I don't know what next year will hold. I don't know what next year will hold. We may make it to the 53rd. We may not. Who knows? But we're here today, and this is your day to decide in your life. Stand with me very quietly, very prayerfully, please.